Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Firepower. That's actually a word, one word, firepower. It's the capability of a military force or unit. Our weapon system, as measured by the amount of gunfire, number of missiles delivered to a target, the capability or potential as of an organization for action or achieving results. The text is Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You may be seated. The need for national firepower is generally determined by the firepower of your enemy. If you've got enemies, you need greater firepower than they have. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There is no detente with the devil. We have to overpower him. And according to God's word, the power that God has given us and made accessible to us is much more powerful than that which Satan has. A powerless church is a devoured church. That's the reason why so many churches today are in trouble, is because they simply don't have any firepower. It's extremely interesting to note that two of the most powerful and destructive forces on earth, water and fire, are both declared in the scripture in relationship to the eternal salvation of mankind. Fire is a continuing story, a continuing theme that runs its thread through the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Fire is such a painful, destructive force. There's not much death more painful than fire. Yet without it, man could scarcely exist. We need it for warmth. We need it for food preparation. We could not have transportation without firepower. We need it for sterilization. The list is endless why we need fire. The Bible introduces the force of fire early in its record. The first time fire is mentioned, it was the brimstone and fire that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah for their practiced perversion. Perhaps it's because of that fire and brimstone that people shy away from it. In spite of their dependency on fire, they're still afraid of it. There's such an innate fear of fire by many people, they do everything they can to avoid it. And even the smallest flickering flame can bring terror to their heart. However, the next time when we read about fire in the Bible, it's on Mount Moriah. It's God and Abraham. And God is talking about Abraham's sacrifice that is totally acceptable, and he licks it up with fire. When we bring a sacrifice to God, it must be on fire. No matter what you do for God, no matter what you bring to God, it cannot be complacent nor Laodicea, but it has to be on fire. It has to come from a heart that is full, with a purpose that is intent, with zeal and joy. Even Christ is recorded. The zeal of his heart was literally eating him up. He was on fire with the mission that God the Father had sent him. And then we read in the Bible again that God used a flaming fire on a bush that would not be consumed. It was God's call to Moses to deliver his people out of slavery. It is so sacred that Moses is required to take his shoes off in reverence to the fire that illuminates but does not destroy. When we receive a call from God and we receive it, not just get it, but we receive it, we take it on. And everybody in this building has a call from God. Some of you have never put it on. It hangs in the closet of good intention like a garment that is to be saved for a special day. But the truth is, God has called you. And if you're ever going to put on the calling of God, tonight would be a good night. And this would be a good day, because we are running out of tomorrows. and we are living in the glory of the last days. And when we receive a call of God on our lives, we must be on fire without being consumed. People say, oh, I'm just burnt out. There's something wrong with that, because God does not burn out those that He calls. He sets them on fire, but they are not consumed. When God chose to introduce the Passover to spare Israel from death, He said, this is what I'll do. He said, you take a lamb, and He said, you divide that lamb and take the blood and put it on the doorpost of your heart, of your house, over the top and on both sides. And He said, that death angel that comes to the Egyptians to destroy their firstborn will pass over you. But He said, there's one more thing. He said, take that lamb and roast it with fire and then eat it. There are so many people today that have embraced the calling of Christ. They preach the cross. They believe in Calvary, but there is no fire about it. The Lamb of God cannot do what it wants to do until it is set on fire within inside of you. It's something you think about every day. It's something that you talk about regularly. It's something that drives you to your knees to pray, and something that drives you to your feet to praise. You're on fire with the fact that Jesus Christ died in your place. And you'll never see those tormenting flames of hell. But praise God, you'll walk down the streets of gold and you'll see the Lamb of God. And you'll be there when they say, glory to the Lamb, glory to the Lamb, glory to the Lamb. So it's not for the sedate congregation. It's for those that are literally on fire. No matter what their personality is, there's just something inside of them that makes them want to praise, makes them want to pray, makes them want to shout, makes them want to sing. It is the fire within the Lamb. When we embrace the message of the Lamb slain for our salvation, we cannot be lethargic. We must be on fire. When God wanted to assure Israel that He was guiding them through the wilderness and He would not leave them through this strange land, He would not forsake them, He would be there. He said a cloud will be all right for the daytime, but He said at night when the boogers come out, when the coyotes howl, and when the ghosts and the goblins are hiding behind every rock, and you are fearful, He said, suddenly look up, because He said, I will guide you with the fire by night. And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that it's dark outside in the world we live in. But there is a fire of God. And the promise is today the same it was to Israel in the wilderness. I have not forgotten you. I have not left you alone. I have not forsaken you. But I am with you. I'll put shoes on your feet. I'll rain manna from heaven. I'll bring a stream from the rock. I will be your need, praise God, for whatever you need. Can somebody give God praise? Hallelujah! Can somebody say, I'm on fire? God used the fire of Nebuchadnezzar's furnace to turn three obscure, unknown Hebrew boys into Jewish Hebrew heroes that are still alive today. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that what you're going through is not for your destruction, because the fourth man is always in the furnace, and the fire within you is greater than the fire that is outside of you. And all you've got to do is say, I won't bend and I won't bow. And I promise you that God will jerk you up from obscurity and put you on the pinnacle of success and say, look at these people. They don't even have the smell of smoke on them. Not only did they not burn, they had no after effect. Praise God, they didn't even smell like they'd lit up. They didn't even smell like they'd been smoking. They were totally delivered, and God will do it for us. God has always used fire, not only to judge the evil, but to also empower His people. It was the great weeping prophet Jeremiah that credited God's word as being a fire shut up in his bones that he could not contain. You need to look at the verse, because there's something powerful there. He was saying, I was exactly like Obama. In Greenwood, South Carolina, I was weary, I was worn, I was ready to quit. Forget about the White House, I want to go to my house. That's the way it was. And that's exactly what Jeremiah said. Oh, for a lodge in the wilderness where I could get away from my mission and my calling. And then said I will never make mention of his name anymore. I won't speak of the name of God. Let the world go to hell. I don't care. But then he said this, but, and it was a big but. He said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I could not stay. I had to get up because I had a fire inside of me. I ask you tonight here at Living Way Church, is there anybody that ever gets tired but you can't quit because you got a fire in your bones? Is there anybody that wants to stay home some Wednesday nights, but somehow you get out of here because you got a fire in your bones? Is there anybody that wants to sleep in some Sunday morning, but you don't because you got a fire in your bones? Well, guess what? You're not the Lone Ranger. This is not the first rodeo. Jeremiah, thousands of years ago, felt the same way. But he said, praise God, I had firepower. How many people tonight can testify and say, I'm not just a mealy Christian. I'm not just a milk-toed Christian. I'm not just a denominational Christian. I am a firepower of Christian. I've got fire shut up in my bones. Woo! Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God, glory to God. I'm trying to behave myself so that guy won't leave and go over to his mama's house. When John the Baptist realized that his ministry was ending, he didn't feel like a success. He felt like a failure. He knew he was going to be murdered. And when he knew his time was limited and that he could not fulfill the inner hunger of mankind, that he had had a very small importation and effect on his generation, he declared that there's one coming after me, and he's going to be a whole lot different than me. I could baptize you with water under repentance, but that's the best I could do. But there is one coming after me mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's the promise that John the Baptist left the church that was about to be. Jesus was bringing his earthly ministry to a close. He had been here for 33 and a half years. He declared that the advent of his coming was great, but he said something greater is going to happen. That's the reason why he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He believed that we would have firepower. And he said, something's going to happen to you. And he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I'm talking about firepower. When the church was born, it was born and baptized with fire. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. The church of the living God began with fire, and God intended for us to still have fire power today. The Bible said about that early church when they, the disciples, Paul and Silas, went down to Thessalonica. They said, the sinner said, oh, my Lord and my God, they're here. Who's here? They that have turned the world upside down. We can go into a city and nobody knows we're there. It's because we don't have the firepower that God intended for the church of the living God to have. This church was on fire when it began. Where is the fire today? In Leviticus 6:13, the Bible said that God told the priest, you shall put the fire on the altar, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. What was that fire on the altar? The same fire that led them by night above the tabernacle. It was to remind them that the fire was so important that it came directly from God, that God started the fire, but it was up to the priest to bring food, to bring wood and fuel to that fire and keep it burning. And they said the fire must never go out. Ladies and gentlemen, when God saved you and filled you with the power of the Holy Ghost, if you really got it, if you really got saved, if you really got transformed, He put Jeremiah's fire in your bones. He put the upper room fire in your soul. He put that abiding fire in you. But it's up to you to make sure that that fire never goes out. Somebody needs to add a little fuel tonight. Somebody needs to throw another log on the fire tonight. Is your flame flickering, or is it burning brightly for the whole world to see? That fire was an indicator that the presence of God was still there. Jesus told us about a woman that had 10 coins and she lost one of them. I would submit to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that the missing coin that the church is to have is the fire. Where is the fire? People are totally unchanged by the church they attend today. Somebody told me today about a church that their motto is, we'll have you out in 45 minutes. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what God does. You'll be in your car in 45 minutes. That is a guarantee that that is a church that the fire has gone out long ago and the priest has not brought anything to make sure that the fire of God is burning. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we have lost the urgency. The church is now complacent and lethargic. We come in and we listen to people preach. They call it preaching, but it's really not preaching. If you're not calling people to action, if you are not causing people to be changed and transformed, you're not preaching at all. You're giving a speech. There's a big difference between a speech and preaching. The foolishness of preaching saves the lost. The speech entertains people. We've lost the urgency. We've traded the fire for the form. The Bible said in the last days they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power, the firepower thereof. From such, turn away. We've traded the power for the vain philosophies of man. Colossians 2:28 says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. The Apostle Paul was a different kind of preacher. He would not have been asked to speak at most seminars because he declares in Acts 20:31, he said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every man day and night with tears. I don't see many preachers crying over the lost. I don't hear many preachers warning people that there is an eternal lake of fire. It's all about you're okay just like you are. I promise you, sir, ma'am, you're fine just like you are. All you need is another dose of self-esteem and you'll be fine. And they leave them in the complacence that they found them in. And friend, they literally are deceiving them because they're not all right. They need the fire that falls from heaven. They need the fire that judges their sin and purges their soul. They need the fire that gets in their bones. They need the firepower that ignites them. They need the fire. Instead of the devil chasing them, they're chasing the devil. The Bible said he would flee from you. It won't happen until you've got firepower. 150 years ago, the worst criminal of Europe was a man by the name of Charles Pierce. He was caught 2 or 3 times, escaped. His sins and crimes were terrible. He killed men, raped women and children. He was a terrible, terrible man. His name was Charles Pierce. But finally they brought him to law, brought him to court and found him guilty of murder, rape, and they got him to the gallows. And they said, Mr. Pierce, is there anything you want to say? He said, I would like to say this. Sir, if I believe what you and the Church of God said you believe, even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it if need be. on hands and knees and think it worthwhile just to save one soul from an eternal hell like that. They jerked the rope and he went to his death. That was a murderer and a rapist. A church or a person that does not accept the teaching of the Bible on the fire of hell will be a person and church of diminished fire. They just don't see the need to win souls. As soon as they get enough people in the pews to pay the bills, it's over. As soon as they can build the building they want, it's fine. We, my friend, today in America are not saving souls. We're building churches. Away with the thought of building churches and save souls. It doesn't matter how many people come to your church if they're not saved. It doesn't matter how much the building costs or how many it will seat if people are not being transformed. But we do not do that because we really don't believe there is a hell anymore. But if we can't believe in hell, we certainly can't espouse heaven. It's amazing that everybody from every trailer court and every high-rise in New York, when a catastrophe befalls their loved one, whether they were murderers, alcoholics, drunkards, child molesters, or whatever they were, they know without a shadow of a doubt that their loved one is in heaven. We have a great intact conviction that there is a heaven for whosoever will. But for some reason, we've decided to take out an eraser and erase the story of hell. If hell is not true, heaven is not true. But friend, if hell is true, we cannot just sit here and say, ain't we something? My, look at us. We got better cars. We've learned to quote the scripture and prosper in every way. All of that is wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, and I promise you it will come. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things he will add unto you. But the truth is, God is looking for people that are on fire. People that have a passion, the same passion that took him to the cross. God set us on fire is my message tonight. God set us on fire is my plea for this congregation. We need firepower. A pastor friend of mine called. I just preached for him a few weeks ago. And he said, you've got to get the message out. He said, your message is tailor-made for this world. Pastor, Brother Luther said to me a few services ago, he said, we got to take it worldwide. We got to take it worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, I listen to preacher after preacher on television. And they never, ever give people a call to action. Just stay like you are. Why turn on the lights and open the door if we are not going to introduce people to the fire of the Holy Ghost, to the transformation of the blood of Jesus Christ? And so this pastor friend of mine said, you've got to get your message out. God has brought you to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. He said, there was a man in our church when you preached. I didn't know about it, but he told me it was his last Sunday. He was getting ready to commit suicide. He said, I hadn't been touched for years, but he said that preacher had some fire in his belly, and it changed my mind. Ladies and gentlemen, the church of the living God has got to rise up. There's something we've got to do about the opioid crisis. There's something we've got to do about the suicide in our veterans. They're coming home, shell-shocked, suffering so much anxiety from the wars that our government puts them in. I mentioned it, but there was a man that came in Austin, Texas, two Sundays ago when I preached there. He said, Brother Steve, during the offering, he came up and he said, I got to talk to you. He said, it was 40-some years ago. He said, I was back from two tours in Vietnam. I was so messed up, so suicidal, it was over. But he said, I walked in here and I heard you preach. And that day I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, for 43 years I've been coming to this church. And he said, I owe my life to you. Shaking my hand, brother. I said, no, you don't know what you're doing for me. You're telling me I can't let the fire die out. We've got to get the fire back on the altar. We've got to get the fire back back on the altar. We can't be a dead denomination. We've got to make the blood red again. We've got to make the fire hot again. We've got to make the joy sweet again. Praise God. This world needs a church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We must get the fire in our prayer. The effectual fervent. Fervent. What does that mean? Red hot. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've got to get the fire back in our worship. We've got to get the fire in our singing. We've got to get the fire in our witnessing. Becky and I, many years ago, had a major revival in Pensacola, Florida. We preached in that church so many revivals. But in one revival in particular, that building would seat 1,000 people on a Monday night. We could not get them in the building. I remember one particular night, they sent a message. They said, there's a Methodist preacher. Service is going on. There's a Methodist preacher standing on the sidewalk. He can't get through the door. The crowd's too great. He's a Methodist pastor here in town. He's heard about it. And he wants to come in and talk to you about this Holy Spirit thing. And just a few, they never got him in. In a few moments, another note was passed up through the shoulder-to-shoulder people. They passed a note, said, never mind. He just got the Holy Ghost standing on the sidewalk in Pace Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida. You say, well, how does a revival like that happen? It don't happen, my friend. It's created. You know what Becky and I did? We found the 10 most excited, on fire people in that Pensacola church. And we went out in the daytime and we'd knock on somebody's door. Sometime it was a family member of somebody in the church. Sometime it was just a stranger. And Becky would have her accordion and they'd say, yes. So we just came to have church. Before they could shut the door, we went in. Becky would squeeze that accordion. They'd start singing and I'd preach right there in their house, uninvited. Praise God, they'd get saved, they'd get the Holy Ghost, they'd come to church that night. What was driving us? Oh, friend, there is a hell. We've got to crawl over the broken glass. We've got to get your children in the church. We've got to get your mama to the altar. We've got to get your husband saved. This is our day, and this is our hour. Hey, Brandon, I wish the whole world would catch on fire. I wish the whole world would catch on fire. This is our greatest day. This is our greatest day. Friend, I tell you what, God's doing a new thing, Brother Luther, in me. I've got the knowledge of an old timer, and I've got the fire of a new convert. I feel like I just got saved last week, praise God. I feel like it's all new again. Hallelujah. When somebody sings, it excites me. When somebody praises God, it thrills me. Hallelujah. Get the fire back in our witnessing, the fire in our preaching. We have traded the power of God for the enticing words of man's wisdom. There's a guy been on Facebook for weeks now, and if you will send him enough money, he's been preaching for 30 years. He said he will make you an effective preacher. He knows how. Friend, if you know how, you ain't doing it right. Those old preachers used to preach. And suddenly something would happen while they were preaching. And they would say invariably, when I was a boy, the preacher just showed up. That meant they felt that anointing come on them. They felt like David with a rock in his sling. They felt like Samson with his hair growed out again. They felt like John saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Suddenly the anointing was there. They ain't nobody can teach you to preach like this world needs to hear preaching. It's got to come from a fire that's in your heart. Firepower! Firepower! That's what the church of the living God needs, where cancer just cringes when we reach out and lay our hands on them. These signs shall follow Bishop Jakes, and it shall follow John Hagin. No! These signs shall follow every believer from the back to the front. Man, woman, boy, or girl, we got to get on fire! Give God some praise in this house. Woo! Oh, I feel the fire of God in this house tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. The fire is here. Let me tell you, that fire gets in you, brother. It'll take care of your cancer. It'll take care of your leukemia. It'll take care of your tuberculosis. That fire just burns it all out of you. The bush burns, but the bush is not consumed. But praise God, the sickness is gone because of the fire of Almighty God. God is in this house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Solomon describes the church as an army with banners. And there's no question that the Christian church is an army. But I just want to know what our firepower is. The United States has got enemies all over the world. Iran wants to wipe us off the face of the earth. Death to America! North Korea would like to quit playing patty cake with Donald Trump and launch a missile that would take Los Angeles off this earth. There's one thing that holds them back. It's not the arrogancy of the man in the White House. It's they know about the firepower of the United States military. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be the great singers or the pulpiteers of the church that is going to drive the devil back in his hole and release a nation from his grip. It is going to be the firepower of the average believer in the pew that says, praise God. I'm not afraid of the devil or any of his demons. I'll literally fight with him anywhere I can, because greater is he that's in me than is he that is in the world. I have received that fire that John the Baptist said Jesus would give me. I have received that power that Jesus said the Father would give me. I am empowered. And look at my arsenal, praise God. When I say the name of Jesus, something literally takes that name and it becomes a missile and it's headed out to somebody to save them or heal them. When I lift up my hallelujah, angels are suddenly there. Wings are flapping. Demons are fleeing, praise God, because I've got firepower. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But firepower only comes from two places. Jeremiah said it came from the word that shut up in my bones. But Jesus said it came from the Holy Spirit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you happen to be in a church that believes in both of those things. Somebody said, well, I like the word, but I don't like the worship. Then you are half born. Because praise God, when somebody gets where they are, they say, well, I like the worship, but I don't care much about the preaching. You're half born. But praise God, when a person gets on fire, you have to set them down because they don't want to quit worshiping. And then when the word goes forth, you got to set them down because they want to take what they're hearing and go cut some devil's head off. They are set on fire by the spirit of worship in the Holy Ghost. And they're set on fire from the inside out with the Word of God. And their firepower is indescribable. I want to ask you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, how many people will do a self-inventory and say without a question, I'm not a Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, but praise God, I am a Christian with firepower. I believe I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I believe I can witness to the lost and they'll get saved. I believe I can help a heroin addict get straight, praise God, because it's not a religion. It is the firepower of the Holy God of Israel, and He lives inside of me. Will you stand on your feet and lift your hands and worship God tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shitoroma babakasata laboria. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Something is going to happen. And God is just looking for the somebody that it's going to happen to. And it might as well be you. It might as well be your wife, your husband, your teenagers, praise God. But it's not going to happen in a denominational church. It's going to happen when people get filled with the Word of God, that Word that created this universe, that Word that has begotten us all. When the Holy Ghost falls like rain, it breaks every tradition. You don't understand what my tradition is, preacher. I understand that your tradition is not as great as the household of Cornelius' tradition. But while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is in this building tonight. It hovers over you. And if you will let the fire of God descend on you tonight, there are problems that you have wrestled with for 20 years that when you got up on Wednesday, Thursday morning, they would be gone because the fire of God would burn them out while you're sleeping. Let the fire of God come into this place tonight. Let the fire of God do what He can do. He's a Savior. He's a healer. He's a baptizer. Yatalamaka sotoloko shatandala bahalala varia. Haramamamaba. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Somebody told me a service two ago about their family in another state watching this Wednesday night service, and suddenly they came up off of their chairs and they called their family member and said, "We were watching your church and that preacher tonight, and we were standing in front of the TV weeping because God was doing something in our lives." Oh, hallelujah. Something's happening. Something is happening. Something's happening to me. Something's happening to me. Anything happening to you, something's happening to me. Praise God. I've been doing this a long time, but I feel something I ain't never felt before. I'm hearing something I never heard before. I'm being touched like I've never been touched before. It's a new day. Praise God. I watch the pitiful media talk about the pitiful political landscape, and they don't have a clue. It's come down to us. Ain't nobody got an answer but the Church of the Living God. And that's not religion. That's the fire baptized. Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled people that have got the power of God pulsing through their veins. Give the Lord a shout tonight. Oh, you're trying to solve your own problems. Never going to get it done, folks. You need to make your way to this altar tonight and say, "God, set me on fire." Because when God's fire descends on you, everything that is negative is burned up, and all that remains is the gold. All that remains is the gold. You got a relationship. You've been working on that relationship for 7 years, and it's not a bit better than it was 7 years ago. Get on fire and let God fix that relationship. Say, "I've been working on my finance for the last 10 years. I've taken Dave Ramsey's course 14 times, and I'm still in debt." Friend, you've got a problem that only the fire power of God can resolve. You need to get out of that pew tonight and make a quick exit out of fear and run into the very utopia of faith and say, "I am believing that He was, He is, and He shall be. I'm believing He's in this room tonight on a Wednesday night. I believe that I'm going to be set on fire and I'll never ever be the same again." Hallelujah. This is one of our charter members. One of our charter members. Remember the sermon? The old men's dreams and the young men's vision and the sons and daughters' prophecies. This is one of the dreamers here. She's been with me longer than I can remember. Just keeps coming. But it ain't over yet. She hadn't tasted the sweetest or seen the best.